My name is Fabian.
Mitt navn er, hans navn er Fabian.
Yeah, not his name. And well, I am a disciple of Jesus.
And disciple of Jesus.
And in the last years, I have been doing a lot of stuff, just trying, as I told you yesterday, to go back to what the Bible is teaching and to do it.
I de siste årene så har jeg gjort mye, og jeg har prøvd å gå tilbake I Bibelen og se hvordan de første disiplene gjorde det.
And I have spent 19 years teaching people, inspiring people.
Jeg har brukt 19 år til å prøve å inspirere mennesker.
But I've seen much more fruit when I have been just doing it and showing people how to do it.
Men jeg har opplevd mye mer frukt når jeg har vist folk hvordan, eller gjort det og vist andre hvordan de skal gjøre det.
Yesterday we were in prayer with Lars and Daniel and other people.
I går så var vi og ba sammen med Lars og Daniel og noen andre.
And the Lord gave me a word where he said, you know, my kingdom has all kind of hospitals and doctors and schools and teachers.
Og Gud ga meg et ord med at Guds rike har mange, de har leger og sykehus og lærere og så videre.
But it's missing an army.
Men det mangler en her.
And if we speak about conquering Norway,
og når vi snakker om å overvinne Norge eller innta Norge,
speaking in the way that Daniel was speaking about the kingdom,
så når vi snakker om, eller sånn som Daniel snakker om Guds rike,
and if we want the kingdom of God to conquer this country,
og hvis du vil at Guds rike skal innta Norge,
let's make it more simple. Let's say God, the kingdom of God conquering this city,
eller gjør det enda enklere hvis Guds rike skal innta denne byen.
Or let's say you make it more simple. Let's say the kingdom of God conquering your neighborhood.
Eller ännu enklare, när Guds rike ska inta ditt nabolag.
Or even more simple, the kingdom of God conquering your colleagues and your family members.
Eller ta det ännu längre ner, att Guds rike ska övervinna dina vänner och dina kollegor.
The only way that is going to happen,
den enda måten det kan ske på,
is not by teaching more.
Ikke å undervise mer.
It's not going to happen by opening more buildings.
Det handler ikke om å åpne flere bygninger.
It's not going to happen by playing nicer music.
Og det kommer ikke til å skje med å spille finere musikk.
It's not going to happen by anything we are doing actually. It's only going to happen by making disciples.
Det eneste måten det kan skje, det ikke med hvordan vi eller gjøre mer, men det å gjøre disipler.
And all the other things are great. They are not bad.
Og alle de andre tingene, det bra, det ikke dårlig.
But the Lord Jesus, he commanded us just one little thing.
Men Jesus, han ga oss et oppdrag til å gjøre en ting.
So the entire Bible,
så hele Bibelen,
the whole book,
hele boka,
can be summarized in three sentences.
Kan bli oppsummert I tre setninger.
Three things that God expects of you.
Tre ting Gud forventer av oss.
Because that is something that is always playing in my head, you know, like, we're always trying to understand how much we can expect of God.
For ofte så tenker vi, har mye fokus på, hva kan vi forvente fra Gud?
But very seldom we think of what is God expecting of me.
Men väldigt sällan så tänker vi vad förväntar Gud av oss?
Honestly, I have a little problem with singing this famous worship song that says you will never let me down.
Jag har problem med att sjunga den sången Gud du vill aldrig svikta mig.
You know the song? It's a beautiful song.
Känner du sången? Det är en flott sång.
But I honestly it's my thing, okay? Don't think I'm attacking you.
Men det var min greie. Jeg prøver ikke å angripe dere.
But I have a hard time approaching my king.
Men jeg har problem til å møte min Gud.
And telling him you will never let me down. Sounds like a passive threat, you know? You better do what I say.
Men du vil aldri svikte meg. Det på en måte en passiv måte å si at gjør det på min måte.
I would rather sing, Lord, please help me to never let you down.
Jeg vil heller si det på en annen måte, men Gud hjelp meg så jeg ikke svikter deg.
So, you know, we want to see Jesus as king of our health, our finances and our relationships.
Vi ønsker oss å se Gud som konge I vår helse, vår økonomi og vår vennskap eller relasjoner.
But do you want to see God as king of us?
Men ønsker vi også å se Jesus som konge for oss?
That he's going to rule over your life.
At han hersker og regjerer og leder vårt liv.
That he's going to make the choices.
Men det han som tar valget.
That, you know, to let him break you down.
Til å la han bryte oss ned.
You know, we're so busy trying to fight out of brokenness and out of frustration.
Vi så opptatt med å bryte oss ut av frustrasjon og nedbrytthet.
When actually is God mostly the one who is breaking us down and frustrating us.
Men ofte så det Gud som bryter oss ned og gjør oss frustrert.
Brokenness is a great place to be.
Å være nedbrutt er en bra sted å være.
It's the best place to be.
Det det beste stedet å være.
Yes, it's painful.
Ja, det smertefullt.
But it's a great place and frustration is also a very good place to be.
Men det et bra sted å være og frustrert det også et bra sted å være.
Sacrifice and radical choices are not coming out of comfort.
offringer og
radical choices.
Radikale valg, det kommer ikke ut av
they don't come out of comfort.
Ja, kommer ikke ut ifra komfort.
They only come out of desperation.
De kommer ut av desperation.
All the heroes that you can think of, your nation or any nation in general, they did those crazy sacrifices because they were desperately frustrated and desperate.
Alle nasjoner og store ja, overvinner og sånne ting, de store seierne har kommet ut ifra frustrasjon.
So I will try to speak to you these days in a way to make you maybe a little bit frustrated and a little bit desperate.
Jeg ønsker å få undervise I dag og sånn at dere blir litt frustrert og ja.
So bear with me, I'm not a motivational speaker.
Så jeg ikke en motivasjonstaler.
And before I start, I want to put a challenge before you from the beginning already.
Før jeg begynner, så ønsker jeg å gi deg en utfordring.
And the first thing I want to ask you is, please do not believe anything I teach today.
Så vær så snill, det første det vær så snill og ikke tro på noen ting av det jeg underviser der I dag.
Can we start with that one?
Vi enige?
That's easy, right?
Det lett.
So don't believe anything I'm saying.
Ikke tro på noen ting av det jeg sier.
Because we are so used to just follow the one with the microphone.
For vi så vant oss å følge den som har mikrofonen.
Or the one behind the screen.
Eller den bak skjermen.
Because our culture is like that. You know, we worship people that somehow can speak or have a talent to do something.
For kulturen vår sånn at vi følger den som har talent og den som flink til å tale og så videre.
So when I'm going to teach today, I challenge you, don't believe it, test it.
Men jeg utfordrer dere, ikke tro på det, prøv det.
Don't discard it either. Just test if what I'm saying is the word of God or not.
Ikke forkast det heller, men prøv det og så se om det stemmer med Guds ord.
Because if what I'm saying is the word of God, then you have a problem ahead of you. You have to make some steps.
For hvis det jeg sier det utifra Guds ord, så har du en utfordring, for da må du ta noen nye steg.
And if what I'm saying is not the word of God, you are obliged to confront me and correct me because I want to do the right thing as well.
Og hvis det ikke stemmer med Guds ord, så du egentlig forpliktet til å komme og utfordre meg og korrigere meg.
So whatever happens in this talk, you have to do something with it.
Så uansett hva som skjer I den undervisningen, så du nødt for å gjøre noe med det.
Or you go and do it, or you come and slap me.
Så enten går du og gjør det, eller så kommer du og kritiserer meg, eller korrigerer meg.
Okay? Do we agree on that?
Vi enige? Okay?
Good. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is about how do you see yourself?
Det første jeg vil snakke om det, hvordan ser du på deg selv?
This is a very basic teaching and it's very, very, very biblical and it helped me a lot to change the way I saw my responsibility before my king.
Det en veldig grunnleggende undervisning og det har forandret meg og endret min måte å tenke på.
So, when you talk about your faith, do you talk ever about your faith with your sinners around the people in your job family? Do you ever do that?
Snakker dere om troen deres med folk rundt dere, med folk, kolleger eller venner?
Are most of people here where are we? Arendal.
Arendal.
Are most of people here Christians or atheists?
De fleste folk her I Arendal, de kristne eller ateister?
What are they? Most of your friends, are they believers, unbelievers?
De fleste venner deres de troende eller
I'm asking you.
Ikke troende.
Believers? No? Unbelievers. So when you tell them about your faith, how do you describe yourself? What do you say?
Når du forteller om troen din, hvordan beskriver du deg? Hvordan beskriver du deg selv?
Please tell me.
Vær så snill.
I'm asking you a question.
Dette spørsmål som jeg vil at jeg skal svare på.
I want to have this dialogue and I want to be the only one talking.
Jeg ønsker dialog.
So you say, I am... What do you say you are?
Når du sier jeg hva det da du sier videre? Fortsettelsen.
A disciple of Jesus? Okay.
En disciple av Jesus.
Troende. Believer. Troende. What is troende?
Believer.
Believer, okay. Troende, okay. I'm learning Norwegian. I'm learning Norwegian. Håkon is a very good teacher.
Håkon veldig flink lærer til å lære meg norsk.
He taught me, it's not the fart that kills, but the smell.
Ja. Right? Det kjente uttrykket fra Petter Solberg. Tror ikke oversette det.
You know, funny enough, the word that is most used in the Bible is what my sister here said, you know, to be disciples of Jesus.
Hva heter min favoritt er å være en disciple av Jesus?
Myself, at least, I never used that before.
Tidligere så har jeg ikke brukt det.
And one of the biggest problems is that every church denomination uses the same words but gives them a different meaning.
Alle kirker og kirkesamfunn de bruker de samme ordene, men de har forskjellige betydninger.
If I speak of a pastor, every denomination will have a different understanding of pastor.
Hvis jeg bruker ordet pastor, så har alle kirkesamfunn forskjellige betydninger eller meninger bak det ordet.
If I speak of repent, every denomination has a different concept of repentance.
Och vi ser snacka om omvändelse så har alla kyrkor och kyrkosamfund olika förståelse av omvändelse.
If I speak of baptism, every denomination has a total different idea of baptism.
Och vi ser snacka om dop så har ju alla kyrkosamfund totalt olika meningar och förståelse av dop.
So when we speak about Christians, what does the Bible have to say about a Christian?
Så när vi snackar om kristna, vad säger Bibeln om det att vara kristen?
And it's a little bit shocking when you just forget everything you have been learning and doing and just check what the Bible says.
Men hvis du glemmer alt det du har lært og så begynner å se hva Bibelen faktisk sier.
And the Bible uses the word Christian only 3 times.
Og Bibelen bruker ordet kristen bare 3 ganger.
In all these pages it only comes 3 times.
I alle disse sidene så kommer det bare 3 ganger.
And in the 3 times it comes was never a nice word. It was always an offense.
Og alle de 3 gangene så var det ikke et bra ord. Det var rett og slett en fornærmelse.
It was used to mock or to insult.
Det blev brukt för förnärma och mobba eller plaga dig.
You know, Peter says, if you suffer as a Christian, because Christian implied suffering.
Peter säger det att du kommer att lida som en kristen, för det att vara kristen det medför lidelse.
That was the meaning it had, the feeling it had.
Det var den betydning, den känslan med det ordet.
When the king Agrippa told Paul, you almost convinced me of being one of those Christians.
När kung Agrippa säger till Paulus att du har nästan överbevist mig till eller övertalat mig till att bli en av dessa här kristna.
And in Syria is the first time that they used it in Acts 11 when they saw the disciples and they called them Christians. The unbelievers called them Christians.
Och i Apostlagärningarna 11 det första stället där de blev kallade för kristna, dessa troende.
So it was not a word that Jesus ever used.
Så det är inte ett ord som Jesus brukte.
He never used it one single time.
Han brukte det inte en enda gång.
The other word that many of us use is the word believer.
Ett av de andra ord som vi ofta brukar det är att vara troende.
I used to use the word a lot.
Jag har brukt det ordet väldigt mycket.
But that word is in the Bible only one time.
Men i Bibeln så ser vi det bara en gång.
It's many times, those who believed and those who believed. That's what the Bible many times says. But to identify someone as a believer comes only one time in Acts 5.
Ofta så står det där de troende och de som trodde, men det att vara en troende det är bara brukt en gång.
Because believing is also a very tricky word. What does it mean to believe? Every denomination will give you a total different description of that.
Och begreppet troende och tro det är ett ord som vill ha väldigt många olika betydningar.
But the word that Jesus used and everybody else used was the word disciple.
Men det ordet begreppet som Jesus brukte och som också är brukt vidare I Bibeln det är ordet disciple.
So what does it matter? Does it matter if I call myself a Christian or a disciple or a believer or a smurf?
Vad betyder det egentligen om jag kallar mig för en kristen, en troende eller en disciple eller en smurf?
You can call yourself whatever you want, but it's important that you understand what God has called you to be.
Du kan kalla det egentligen för vad du vill, men det som är viktigt är att du förstår vad Gud har kallat dig att bli.
If I say I am a disciple of Jesus, that has a very specific meaning.
Hvis jeg sier det at jeg en disciple av Jesus, så har det en speciell betydning.
You cannot just be whatever you want to be and still call you a disciple of Jesus. That's just not possible.
Du kan ikke være akkurat sånn som du vil og gjøre akkurat sånn som du vil og fremdeles være en disciple av Jesus. Det er umulig.
So let's skip all the Greek and all those things. Let me just give you a very simple explanation of it.
Låt oss droppa all det grekiska och alla de andra definitionerna. Låt mig göra det väldigt enkelt.
How many is soccer a popular sport in Norway?
Är fotboll en populär idrott I Norge?
Yeah. Do you have any favorite football player?
Har du någon favorit fotbollsspelare?
Holland. That's German, right?
Braut Holland.
No, Holland. Okay.
Holland. There's a young one. Just. Yeah, very good.
Very good football player
in Germany.
Oh, in Germany.
Is now
Norwegian. Okay.
Yeah, 19 years old.
19. Oh, well, good. I'm a terrible football player.
En väldigt dålig fotbollsspelare.
I never did any sports. I'm terrible at sports.
Jag har inte drivit med någon form för idrott och är eländig I sport.
You can see that.
Du kan se det.
I only use my body as a means of transportation for my head.
Jag brukar bara kroppen min som huvudtransportmedel för huvudet mitt.
That's but my son, my oldest son, I have 6 kids and the oldest he loves to play football.
Jag har 6 barn och den äldste han älskar att spela fotboll.
He has inherited my talent but he likes it at least.
Han har arvat mitt talent men han liker det I alla fall.
So he made me think a lot about, what if we said okay, let's think who is a disciple of Ole, what's his name?
Haaland.
Who?
Haaland.
Haaland?
Yeah.
Haaland. Okay. What would it be to be a disciple of Holland?
Vad vill det vara att vara en disciple till Holland?
For example, could be the people that are at home sitting down on Sunday with their friends with a bag of chips and a Coke watching him play.
Är det också sitta hemma en söndag med en pose med chips och öl och sitta och se på han spelar fotboll?
Let's call them the spectators.
Då är vi tillskuare.
And they cheer when he scores, and they get angry when he gets punished.
Och det jublar när han skårar, och det blir sinna när han blir straffad.
Or maybe the fans, the ones who go to the stadium and take off their t-shirt and they're screaming and with their face painted.
Eller kanske hakar vidare att du reser på kampen och ser där som supporter och du har rätt t-shirt och du skriker och hyllar när han skårar.
And they know everything about his life, they know where he was born, they know how he plays, they know everything about him.
Och de vet allt var han kommer ifrån, hur mycket han har skårat, var han har spelat och så vidare. De vet allt samman om han.
And they support him and they try to tell others about him so that other people will also come to cheer when Haaland is playing.
Och de känner som eller de är väldigt begeistrade för honom och fortæller andra om Haaland hur flink han är och vill ha fler med sig på fotbollskamp.
Or maybe your little 11-year-old son who is trying on the football field to play like Haaland plays.
Eller kanske den 11 år gamla sonen din är på fotbollsbanan och så spelar sånt som han som Haaland spelar.
Who will never ever be as famous and as good and as talented as Haaland.
Som aldrig kommer att bli så flink eller så talentfull som Haaland.
But he's doing what Haaland does.
Men han gör det som Haaland gör.
So which of these three would you qualify as a disciple of Haaland?
Så vem av dessa tre typerna eller grupperna vill du kvalificera som en disciple till Haaland?
The ones who just sit down and do whatever they want with their bodies, but they just would like to watch it.
Han så eller de som sitter och ser på och gör vad som helst, hoppas jag, med kroppen sin och sitter och spiser och bara ser på vad han gör för nå.
The spectators.
De som är tillskuare.
Or the fans that know everything about it and tell everyone about him.
Eller fansen som vet allt om han och fortæller alla andra om han.
And they sing songs to him on the stadium. Oh, ole, ole. You
know? Och de sjunger sånger om han på stadion. Ole, ole.
Or the ones who are doing what he does.
Eller de som gör det som han gör.
So the spectators, the fans, or the players, who of the three would be a disciple of Haaland?
Är det tillskuarna, fansen eller spelarna som är den äkta disciplen av Haaland?
The players, right?
Spelarna, inte sant?
I spent 19 years being a spectator and a fan of Jesus.
Jag brukade 19 år till att vara en tillskuare och en fan av Jesus.
And I did everything that came across my path because I thought, okay, I want to do the best for him.
Jag önskar att göra det bästa så jag gör allt det som kom i min väg.
And I've been worship leader for 15 years. I have been yeah.
Jag har varit lovsångsledare i 15 år.
Inside of the church there's no any position I didn't do.
I menigheten så hade ingen position som jag inte hade eller en uppgave som jag inte gjorde.
But I just never did what Jesus used to do.
Men jag gjorde aldrig det som Jesus gjorde.
And if I summarize the Bible in these three commandments that I was telling you.
Och vi summerar eller uppsummerar med tre bud som Jesus har gett oss.
The Bible says love God with all your mind, your soul, your body.
Och älska Gud med hela ditt hjärta, all din förstånd och din vilja.
Love him above all things.
Alltså ha han över alla ting.
The second commandment.
Det andra budet.
Love your neighbor as yourself.
Älska din nästa som dig själv.
And the third one is go make disciples.
Och det tredje, det är att gå och göra discipler.
Those three summarize the entire scripture.
Dessa tre, de uppsummerar egentligen hela skriften.
Where are we?
Var är vi?
Are you a fan?
Är du en fan?
You know everything about Jesus.
Du vet allt om Jesus.
You love to read your Bible.
Du älskar att läsa Bibeln.
You love to study Jesus' life and to tell people about Jesus.
Du älskar att studera om Jesu liv och fortälla andra om Jesus.
But you don't do what Jesus used to do.
Men så gör du inte det som Jesus gjorde.
Or you're an spectator.
Eller är du en tillskuare?
You have your life and Jesus is just a good addition to your plans.
Du har ditt liv men Jesus är bara ett gott tillskott i tillägg till ditt liv.
So you hope that Jesus will fulfill your requirements.
Så du hoppas att Jesus vill uppfylla dina önskningar.
And you come to Jesus to be happy.
Så du kommer till Jesus för att bli lycklig.
Or are you the one who is willing to sacrifice his happiness for the kingdom of God?
Eller är du den som önskar att uppge din lycka för Guds rike?
So long, so many of us have been trying to do the best we could, but just not what Jesus used to do.
För så länge har många av oss hållit på att göra vårt bästa, men vi har inte gjort det vad Jesus gjorde.
You know, I am a teacher from profession. I'm an English teacher.
Jag är utdannad som engelsklärare.
Through a very long story, the Lord told me to change careers. I am now I'm learning to become a carpenter.
For lang historie, men Gud har bedt meg endre yrke, så nå holder jeg på å lære meg til å bli en snekker.
So my little office hands who could only hold a marker, now I have to carry doors and wood and stuff.
Så disse her små kontorhendene, de har nå begynt å lære seg å holde et verktøy og jobbe.
And I could not say that I'm learning to become a carpenter if I was only sitting down in a classroom writing things on a notebook.
Jeg kan ikke si at jeg er lærer til å bli en snekker hvis jeg bare sitter i klasserom og skriver ned i skrivebøker.
The only way is to go to the construction site and get your hands in the dirt. There's no other way.
Det eneste måten å lære et sånt et yrke på, det å gå der hvor det bygges og bli skitten på hendene og gjøre jobben.
So are you doing what Jesus did?
Så gjør du eller gjør vi det som Jesus gjorde?
And what is it then that Jesus did anyway?
Vad var det så Jesus gjorde uansett?
What things did Jesus do?
Vad var det Jesus gjorde?
Tell me.
Fortell mig.
He healed the sick. What else?
Helbredade de syke.
He raised the dead.
Väckte upp de döda.
Cast out demons, yeah. What else?
Kastade ut demoner.
He preached. Most of his time he spent teaching.
Han brukte mycket tid på att undervisa.
Cleansed the lepers.
Han helbreder.
You're missing the point. Come on, guys. The core of his kjernen. Work. What was it?
Hva var det? Hva var kjernen egentlig?
Yeah, but all of that. Why did he heal the sick? Why did he cast the demons? Why did he teach?
Hvorfor helbreder
han syke? What was
Hvorfor
he aiming at?
Demoner. Hvorfor helbreder han syke?
The kingdom, yes. But what was his task in the kingdom?
Hva var hans...
Yeah, you're getting close. Yes, he was making disciples.
Han gjorde disipler.
That's why he did everything he did. He was doing it and showing his people, you'll do it with me too.
Derfor gjorde han alle disse tingene. Han skulle vise disiplene hvordan han gjorde det, sånn at dette skal dere også gjøre.
So you and me have exactly the same task.
Så du og meg, vi har akkurat de samme oppgavene.
First, to be a disciple, to make disciples, you need to be a disciple, first of all.
Først, for å kunne gjøre disipler, så må du selv være en disipel.
So of course, you need to learn.
Så du trenger å lære.
How do you heal the sick? How do you cast out a demon? How do you teach?
Hvordan helbreder syke? Hvordan kaster demoner? Hvordan underviser?
How do you call someone? How do you baptize someone?
Hvordan ringer du noen? Hvordan kontakter du dem? Hvordan døper du dem?
How do you fix the broken hearted? How do you restore the addicted? You need to learn that.
Hvordan gjenoppretter du et sønderknust hjerte? Hvordan setter du mennesket fri fra avhengighet? Hvordan gjør man det?
And you need to go and do it.
Så trenger du å gjøre det.
And of course, maybe this you already knew in your head somehow.
Og mange av disse her, det vet du på en måte i hodet hvordan man gjør det.
But the biggest question is how.
Men det største spørsmålet er hvordan.
And you know, every time I used to go to my church, I would come and be inspired and be motivated.
Hver gang jeg kom til menigheten, så ble jeg inspirert, oppmuntret og ja, motivert.
But I left the building with a big question mark above my head. How on earth am I going to get that done?
Men så gikk jeg fra menigheten med et stort spørsmålstegn over hodet, hvordan i all verden skal jeg gjøre dette?
And I used to go every week on the streets to evangelize for 19 years.
I 19 år så gikk jeg veldig ofte på gata og evangeliserte.
And I said all kinds of things to all kinds of people, but I never knew how to preach the gospel.
Jeg gikk rundt og så jeg sa alt mulig til mange forskjellige folk, men jeg visste egentlig ikke hvordan jeg skulle forkynne evangeliet.
My biggest expectation is to see those people sitting in church.
Min største forventning var å få disse menneskene til å bli sittende i menigheten.
But the Lord didn't say, invite them.
Men Gud sa ikke, inviter dem.
The Lord said, go.
Men Gud sa, gå.
Such a simple difference.
Det er en liten forskjell.
So small.
Veldig liten.
But so huge at the same time.
Men allikevel så stor.
Every time the Lord was working with his disciples, he always said, go.
Altid når han underviste disiplene sine, så sa han, gå.
He never said, tell them to come.
Han sa aldri, kom.
What did Jesus himself do? He also went.
Men han gikk også.
He left his perfect communion with the Father and the Holy Spirit in heaven.
Han forlot det perfekte samfunnet, fellesskapet sammen med sin far og den hellige ånd I himmelen.
From eternity to eternity, the most perfect union between anyone is the union in the Trinity.
Fra evighet til evighet så var dette det aller beste samfunnet, fellesskapet noensinne, eller som eksisterer.
And he left that to come to us.
Og han forlot dette for å komme ned til oss.
And he became like us.
Og han ble som oss.
He learned our culture, our language, our feelings. He was born in a normal city and he was just a guy next door.
Han lærte seg språket vårt, kulturen vår, hvordan vi samfunnet fungerte. Han var akkurat som en vanlig fyr I nabohuset.
And then he said, as the Father has sent me, I send you.
Og så sier han, som far har sendt meg, sånn sender jeg dere.
So this mission that we have is a mission that is the most important mission for all of us.
Så dette oppdraget som han har gitt oss, det det viktigste oppdraget for alle oss.
And everything that we are doing, whatever you do for the kingdom of God, has to be aiming at that purpose of making new disciples for the kingdom of God.
Så alt det vi gjør, det bør ha det målet, det felles målet, at det skal være med og bygge Guds rike.
We're good at wasting our time.
Vi kristne, vi så flinke til å kaste bort tida.
You need to focus.
Du trenger å fokusere.
Before I came here, when I was praying for this for this weekend, God said, "This is a mission of my kingdom."
Før jeg kom hit så ba jeg for dette møtet og Gud sa dette her et oppdrag for mitt rike.
So I was thinking, okay, God is saying that to me. You know, this is a mission for His kingdom. I have to take it seriously. I have to do it well.
Så Gud sa det til meg, så jeg må ta dette her seriøst. Jeg må gjøre dette her ordentlig.
But when I arrived here, I understood that was something that I had to tell you.
Men når jeg kom hit så skjønte jeg at dette noe jeg må fortelle dere.
Because on Thursday I'm flying back home.
For på torsdag så reiser jeg hjem igjen.
Where is my mission?
Til mitt oppdrag.
And we have there, you know, different disciples and houses we are leading and coaching and you know the network is growing and it's expanding. We have no buildings.
Der har vi et nettverk, vi har grupper, vi har større nettverk, men vi har ingen bygninger og dette et arbeid som vokser.
But that's my work there.
Men det mitt arbeid.
I'm not going to reach the Norwegians here.
Jeg kommer ikke til å nå de norske her.
That's yours.
Det deres.
And you need to understand the importance of what God has put into your hands.
Og du trenger forstå viktigheten av hva Gud har lagt i hendene dine.
Paul was one time traveling and he was passing by Corinth.
En gang Paulus var ute og så reiste, så dro han gjennom Korinth.
And Corinth was a horrible city. People were drinking, having sex with prostitutes. There were temples to worship gods of sexuality and it was a mess.
Og Korinth var en forferdelig by. Det var folk drev og festa, folk gikk til prostituerte, det var tempel til avguder, det var et ja, stort kaos der.
You know, in those times to call someone a Corinthian, it was an insult. It meant that you were not trustworthy, you were an immoral person.
På den tida så var det et veldig negativt å bli kalt for en korinter, for da var du en som du ikke kunne stole på, du var en som levde et veldig dårlig liv.
So Paul gets there and he says, "Okay, I have to get out of here." He was going to continue traveling.
Så Paulus han kommer dit, men så måtte han fortsette å reise, måtte forlate byen.
But then God speaks to Paul and he says, "No, don't leave this city because I have a lot of people here."
Men så sier Gud til Paulus, "Ikke reis, bare vær her, fordi at jeg har mange mennesker i denne byen."
Now think about the implication of that thing.
Men tenk på den betydningen det hadde.
That God would say about Arendal, say, wait, stop doing your stuff. I have a lot of people here in Arendal.
Men tenk hvis Gud sa det til oss at ikke bare vent, jeg har mange folk her.
And he's saying that to you, not to me, to you.
Og dette sier han til deg, ikke til meg.
That there's a lot of sinners who are living a life of sin.
For det er mange syndere som lever i synd.
That God calls His people.
Som Gud kaller sitt folk.
And that He's saying. He's not saying I'm going to send an angel, I'm going to plant a new church. He's saying you have to reach them because if you don't reach them, they will be lost.
Han sier ikke det at jeg kommer til å sende en engel som skal frelse dem. Nei, han sender deg, eller hvis ikke du går, så blir de fortapt.
How will they hear if there is not anyone to preach?
Hvordan kan de høre hvis det ikke noen som forkynner?
Oh no, Lars Peters, Lars will do the job.
Men Lars, han vil gjøre jobben.
The evangelists, they have the calling.
Ja, vi må ringe evangelisten.
I don't feel led.
Jeg føler ikke noe for det.
It's your mission.
Det ditt oppdrag.
It's your mission for the king.
Det ditt oppdrag for kongen.
Say whatever you want, but it's your mission.
Si, du kan si hva du vil, men dette ditt oppdrag.
Do you know the parable of the talents?
Du kjenner lignelsen om talentene.
One talent was not to play guitar. It was a talent was 1 year's salary.
En talent, det var ikke talentet til å kunne spille gitar, men det var en årslønn.
And the Bible speaks of this Lord who is going to travel, and he calls three of his slaves, and he says, "Okay, I give you 5 talents, I give you 2 talents, and I give you 1 talent."
Det var denne herren, han skulle ut og så reise, så tar han til seg 3 av tjenerne, så sier han, "Her har du 1 talent, her har du 2 talenter, her har du 5 talenter.
And he says, "Work with this money."
Ta vare på disse pengene og forvalt de.
So when he comes back, the one with 5 gives him back 10.
Så når han kommer tilbake, så den som hadde fått 5 talenter, han hadde 10.
10 years salary.
10 års inntekt.
It's a lot of money.
Det mye penger.
Your pension.
Din pensjon.
You know, and he says, "Lord, you gave me 5, I have here 10.
Herre, du ga meg 5, og her har du 10 tilbake.
And the guy who had 10 and the guy who had 4, they both received exactly the same reward.
Han som hadde fått 5, og han som hadde fått 2, de fikk akkurat samme lønn.
Because it was not about the amount, it was about the obedience.
Det handlet ikke om mengden, det handlet om lydighet.
Because the one with 2, he didn't have the skills to work with 5. He said, you know, he gave according to their skill.
De fikk ut ifra deres evne, han som hadde 2, han hadde ikke evne til å forvalte 5.
And the one who had only 1 talent, he was sent to hell.
Han som hade bara en talent, han blev sent till helvete.
Now think about it, that's extremely serious.
Tänk på detta här, det är svårt allvarligt.
He was a servant of the king.
Han var en herrens tjänare.
And he was sent to hell.
Och han blev sent till helvete.
Not because he had only one.
Inte för att han bara hade en.
But because he did nothing with it.
Men för att han inte gjorde något med det.
He hid it.
Han gömde det.
He said, sorry, I'm not talented, so I just hid it.
Nej, beklagar, jag har inte talent och så jag bara gömmer det.
And the Lord said, at least you could have brought it to the bank.
Men så säger han Herren att du kunde i alla fall gett det till banken.
If you're not talented, then bring it to the ones who are talented. At least take the responsibility that somebody does something with it.
Så hvis du inte har talent, så kunde du i alla fall gå till någon som har talent, någon som har förutsättningar, så kan de förvalta det.
So if you say no, I'm not an evangelist, but at least you can try something.
Så hvis du säger att du inte är en evangelist, så kan du i alla fall pröva något.
So we have a huge mission ahead of us.
Så vi har ett stort uppdrag foran oss.
And that mission is not going to start with opening new buildings or doing great concerts. That is just going to start with changing one person's life.
Men och det uppdraget, det börjar inte med att skaffa nya byggningar eller ha bra musik eller något som helst. Det handlar med oss att nå ett människa.
You cannot change the world, but you can change one person's world.
Du kan inte förändra världen, men du kan förändra världen till ett människa.
But now, are you going to start?
Men vill du starta?
Many of us don't start because we don't have an idea how do we start.
Många av oss vi startar inte för det vi har inte peiling på hur vi ska börja.
So I would love to tell you how, but one hour is not enough.
Jag har väldigt lust att fortälla dig hur, men en timme är inte nog.
But at least I can tell you one thing.
Men i minst ska jag fortälla dig en ting.
Find someone who is doing it.
Finn någon som gör det.
And who is doing it well.
Och som gör det bra.
And then join that person.
Och så delta samma
där. Ask them, teach me, how do you do this?
Gå till dig och spör, lär mig, hur gör du detta?
I have also a website where I put all these teachings. You can go check how you can do it here.
Jag har en webbsida där jag har mycket undervisning, där du kan gå och checka och lära hur de ska göra.
Do whatever, but find the answers. Not how you can sing better, how you can preach better, how you can clean the church better, how you can make one disciple.
Men det är samma hur du gör det, men bara finn någon som visar dig hur du kan göra det, hur du kan lära någon att bli disciple.
Because that's what it's all about.
För det är det handlar om.
And a disciple is not going to be made, and I'm sorry, I'm not criticizing you in any way.
En som jag kritiserar dig inte det helt att.
But a disciple is not going to be made here in church.
Men en disciple är inte något vi gör här i menigheten.
It's not.
Det är inte det.
Here you can be inspired, you can be motivated, you can praise God together. That's great.
Här kan du bli inspirerad, här kan du bli motiverad, här kan du prisa Gud.
A disciple is not going to be made in a Bible school.
Men du blir heller inte gjort disciple på en bibelskola.
The only place to make a disciple is in his house.
Men det eneste måten du kan bli en disciple gjort, det er å være i hans hus.
Oh, you're speaking about house churches.
Da snakker vi om husmenigheter.
No.
Eller snakker vi om husmenigheter?
I'm speaking about a disciple.
Nei, vi snakker om en disciple.
I tried to make disciples in church.
Jeg har prøvd å gjøre disipler i menighet.
For many years.
I mange år.
And I made disciples of the church.
Og jeg lagde menighetsdisipler.
They could do everything I did in the church.
De kunne gjøre alt det jeg gjorde i menigheten.
They knew when to stand up.
De visste når du skulle reise opp.
They know when to sit down.
De visste når du skulle sette seg.
They know when to clap.
De visste når du skulle klappe.
They know when to say hallelujah.
De visste når du skulle si halleluja.
And they know when to speak in tongues.
Og de visste når du skulle snakke i tunga.
Period.
Her.
And then I tried to make disciples in a Bible school.
Så prøvde jeg å gjøre disipler på bibelskolen.
And we trained them better.
Og vi trente de enda bedre.
And we took them on the streets.
Vi tok dem med ut i gata.
And we taught them how to evangelize.
Og vi lærte dem hvordan de skulle evangelisere.
We taught them how to fill people up with the Holy Spirit.
Vi lærte dem hvordan de skulle fylle mennesker med en hellig ånd.
We taught them how to do miracles and prophesy.
Hvordan de skulle gjøre mirakler og profetere.
We taught them everything we knew.
Alt det vi visste.
It was great.
Og det var bra.
While they were in the school.
Når det fungerte på skolen.
But then they went back home.
Men så dro de hjem.
To their unbelieving husband.
Til sin ikke-troende ektefelle.
To their difficult parents.
Till de vanskliga föräldrarna.
To their homosexual children.
Till sina homosexuella barn.
To their 9-to-5 job.
Till sin 9-to-4 jobb.
And they were not trained how to be a disciple in that environment.
Men de var inte tränade att vara en disipel i det miljö.
They were trained how to be a disciple surrounded by 20 Christians.
De var vant att vara disipel omringad av 20 kristna.
The only way to teach disciples to be disciples is that you go to them in their world.
Det eneste måten å trene disipler til å bli disipler, det er å trene dem der ute i verden.
There's no other way.
Det er ikke noen andre måter.
You can keep on trying new formulas and marketing strategies, but Jesus gave the formula.
Du kan prøve forskjellige ja, måter å gjøre det på, teknikker og strategier, men Jesus har vist oss hvordan.
If you want to see happening in Arendal what you see happening in the Bible, then you do what it's in the Bible and so you will see it happen.
Så hvis du har lyst til å se det skje I Arendal, det som skjer I Bibelen, så må du gjøre det sånn som det ble gjort I Bibelen.
And I want to explain to you very briefly the picture of the kingdom. What does it mean?
Og jeg har lyst til å gi deg et enkelt bilde av hva det betyr å være I Guds rike.
You know, when we speak that Jesus is king,
når vi sier at Jesus konge,
it's a difficult thing to understand because we don't have kingdoms anymore.
Så det litt vanskelig å forstå, for vi har ikke den type kongedømmer lenger.
Yeah, you have a king, right? What's the name of your king?
Harald.
How?
Harald.
Horror?
Harald.
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 Okay, this king.
Yeah.
You know, in Holland, in Holland we have a king also.
I Nederland så har de også en konge.
But these kings are just a picture.
Men dette bare et bilde, en illustrasjon.
They don't reign, they don't govern.
De regjerer ikke lenger.
If I'm driving in my car and I'm about to go over the speed limit,
hvis jeg kjører bilen og ferdig med å gå over fartsgrensen,
I don't think, oh, what is Holland, what is
Harald. Harald.
Harald. What is Harald going to think about me?
Hva vil Harald, da tenker ikke jeg på, hva vil kong Harald tenke om meg?
You know, I never think of the king of Holland, William Alexander.
Jeg tenker aldri på den nederlandske kongen, William Alexander.
He's just a picture, he's just an honor to history, but he doesn't reign, he doesn't govern.
Han bare en figur, det en institusjon, men han, det ikke han som regjerer.
The only king nowadays that governs as king is the king of Saudi Arabia.
Den eneste kongen som en reell konge I dag, det kongen av Saudi-Arabia.
And a short time ago, a reporter did a negative report about him, and he was chopped in pieces.
For en stund siden så var det noen som skrev, en journalist som skrev en negativ artikel om han, så han ble hogd I biter.
Because a king has no opposition. His word is the law.
For en konge har ingen opposition. Hans ord lov.
So God is king. He's sovereign. He reigns over the entire creation.
Så Gud som konge som regerer over hele skapelsen.
And you would say, yeah, but why did my mom die of cancer last year if he's king?
Hvorfor døde, men du kan spørre, hvorfor døde min mor I fjor av kreft hvis han konge?
How come that there is all these wars and tragedies if he's king?
Hvorfor det alltid så mange kriger og tragedier I verden hvis han konge?
The thing of our king is that he has many, many characteristics, but two of the most important ones is that he is merciful and righteous.
Det veldig mange karakteristikker vi kan bruke på vår konge, på Gud, men det to som viktige, han barmhjertig og nådig.
So when we say he's righteous, it means that he is obliged to punish evil.
Når vi sier at han rettferdig, så har han rett til å straffe synd.
He cannot ignore sin.
Han kan ikke ignorere synd.
Every time you sin, you're breaking his law.
Hver gang vi synder, så bryter vi loven hans.
If I go to England and I drive on the right side of the street, I'm breaking their law.
Hvis jeg reiser til England og jeg kjører på høyre side av trafikken, så bryter jeg loven.
And I will be punished.
Og jeg vil få straff.
And if the police stops me, I can say, no, but I'm Norwegian, so in Norway we drive on the right side, sorry.
Så hvis politiet stopper oss, og vi sier det, ja, men I Norge så kjører vi på høyre side, så jeg norsk.
They will say, sorry, you are in our kingdom. You do our way.
Men da sier politiet I England at beklager, men nå du vårt rike, det engelske kongeriket, og da må du følge våre lover.
So we live in God's creation. We should do things His way.
Når vi lever I Guds skaperverk, så skal vi gjøre ting på Hans
and
måte.
Every time you do something on your way, you are breaking His laws.
Og hver gang vi gjør noe vår måte, så bryter vi Hans lover.
And we are criminals in God's creation.
Og da blir vi kriminelle I Guds øyne.
We keep breaking His laws.
Vi fortsetter å bryte Hans lov.
In our thoughts, our desires, our words, and our acts.
I våre tanker, vår begjær, vår lengsel, våre handlinger.
Constantly.
Konstant.
Now God is he's the king, and He has given us free will. He gave us the possibility to choose to do things in different ways than His.
Gud, han suveren, og han ga oss en fri vilje for at vi skulle velge, så vi I stand til å velge utifra vår fri vilje.
And we have chose to do things our way.
Og vi har valgt å gjøre ting på vår måte.
So we have rebelled against Him.
Så vi har gjort opprør mot ham.
And not only us, the angels also rebelled against God.
Ikke bare vi, men englene gjorde også opprør mot ham.
In multiple occasions.
På mange måter.
Because God gives free will. He wants people to choose to love Him and not to be obliged to love Him.
For Gud ga oss en fri vilje sånn at vi kunne velge, ikke fordi at vi var forpliktet til å følge ham.
So God is coming back to pick up what belongs to Him and to take over His kingdom back to Himself.
For Gud kommer for å ta tilbake det, eller kom for å ta tilbake det som var hans.
But if He does that, He has to destroy all evil.
Men for å gjøre det, så må han ødelegge all ondskap.
Because He's righteous.
Fordi at han rettferdig.
He's holy.
Han hellig.
But that would mean that He has to destroy you and me as well.
Og det betyr at han egentlig måtte ødelegge deg og meg også.
So then comes the mercy of God.
Så där kommer Guds barmhärtighet.
He has to punish, but he doesn't want to.
Han må straffe, men han ønsker det ikke.
So he offers an escape route.
Så han kommer en flyktvei.
And he facilitates everything he needs. So the only thing you have to do is just to turn around.
Så han gjorde allt klart och la allt till rätta, så det enda vi trenger att göra är att omvända oss.
It's like when in the days of Noah, you know, God said to Noah, you know, I'm going to kill everybody, but if you believe in me, you can step in this ark and you will be saved.
Det är också som I Noas dagar, var han sa till Noah, jag kommer att ödelägga hela världen, men hvis du tror på mig så kan du gå in I den arken och bli räddad.
So we have this way out.
Så vi har den räddningsvägen.
And God is holding his judgment to allow more people to be saved.
Och Gud håller tillbaka sin dom för att fler människor ska bli frälst.
You know, when the United States was fighting in Syria, they would bombard the cities, but before the bombarding they would give a warning.
Så när USA var I Syrien och skulle angripa en by och bomba en by, så sände de ut en advarsel.
They will say, tomorrow we're going to bombard the city, so if you want to live, get out of the city.
Så imorgon så kommer vi att bomba denna byn, så hvis du önskar överleva så måste du förlata byn.
So that's part of our task. We are in this world, there is enemy territory.
Det är en del av vårt uppdrag, så det är fiender på detta område.
And we tell the people, turn around, God is coming back, and he doesn't want to punish you, he wants to forgive you.
Så därför så fortæller vi till människor att Gud kommer att straffa dig, men du tänker inte bli straffad hvis du omvänder dig.
If you turn around, he will forgive your sins and he will save you for eternity.
Så hvis du omvänder dig, så vill Gud tillge dig synderna dina och du vill bli frälst.
So that is the importance of the mission of the kingdom.
Så det är uppdraget I Guds rike.
Are you, first of all, the first question, are you in the kingdom of God?
Så det första spørgsmålet är du I Guds rike?
And if you are in the kingdom of God, are you living like a disciple of Jesus?
Och så nästa, hvis du är I Guds rike, lever du som en disciple av Jesus?
And if you say yes, I am living like a disciple of Jesus, then my next question will be, are you making disciples?
Och hvis ditt svar är ja, jag lever I Guds rike och är en disciple av Jesus, så är min nästa spørgsmål, gör du nya disciple av Jesus?
So these are the three things I want you to think about this morning.
Så det är dessa tre ting jag vill att du ska tänka på idag.
Afternoon.
It's not, ja, eftermiddag.
You know, are you in the kingdom?
Är du I Guds rike?
How do you get in his kingdom?
Och hvordan kommer du in I Guds rike?
I will explain that to you in the next teaching.
Det ska jag förklara I nästa undervisning.
Because you know, you can be living like you are in the kingdom while not being in the kingdom.
För du kan leva som om du är I Guds rike utan att vara I Guds rike.
Have you been born in the kingdom?
Har du blivit född in I Guds rike?
There's no other way to be in God's kingdom than to be born in his kingdom.
Det är ingen annan måte att komma in I Guds rike än att bli född in I Guds rike.
I come from Peru, but I live in the Netherlands.
Jag kommer från Peru men jag bor I Nederländerna.
I speak the language and I live like them.
Jag snackar språk och jag lever sånt som de.
But I will never be a Dutch man.
Men jag vill aldrig bli en nederländare.
I'm too short.
Jag är för kort.
You know, even if I get a passport, I will not be a Dutch man.
Selv om jeg får det I passet, så vil jeg aldrig bli en nederlander.
I will always have an accent.
Jeg vil alltid ha en aksent.
And my tastes and my life is South American.
Smaken min og livet mitt er egentlig søramerikansk.
The only way to be a real Dutch man would be that I would die and that I would be reincarnated in a Dutch family.
Så det eneste måten jeg kan virkelig bli en nederlander på, det å dø og bli reinkarnert I en nederlandsk familie.
That I will be what they call a real cheesehead.
Då vill jag bli ett ordentligt ostehode som de kallar det.
That's what the Dutch call themselves, cheesehead.
Det är det Nederländerna kallar sig själva, ostehode.
That's the only way.
Men det är den enda måten.
The only way to be in the kingdom of God is that you die to yourself and you're born into his kingdom, be born again.
Det enda måten du kan komma in I Guds rike, det är att dö I dig själv och bli född på ny och bli född in I Guds rike.
There's no other way.
Det är ingen annan måte.
And I will speak about that later, how that works.
Och det ska jag snacka mer om det senare.
Because otherwise you might be trained to behave like a Christian, to behave like a son of the kingdom, where you are actually still in the kingdom of darkness.
För eller så kan du få lära dig till, eller folk kan lära sig till att leva som om de är I Guds rike, även om de verkligen lever I mörkrets rike.
When Nicodemus came to Jesus, he said, "You know, oh Lord, nobody would do what you do if you don't come from God. I know you come from God."
No, Jesus kom till Nicodemus och säger att vi vill.
Nicodemus came to Jesus.
Ja, Nicodemus kom till Jesus och sa, "Hur kan jag komma in I ditt rike? Hur kan jag komma in I Guds rike?"
So he's worshiping Jesus.
Han tillber Gud.
And Jesus didn't take his worship.
Och Jesus tar inte emot den tillbedelsen.
He said, "Yeah, nice, but if you are not born again, you will never see the kingdom."
Men Jesus säger att om du inte blir född på nytt, kan du inte se Guds rike.
It's very shocking.
Det är väldigt chockerande.
It's very impolite.
Det var väldigt ohöfligt.
And Nicodemus gets surprised and says, "What do you mean?"
Och Nicodemus han blir överraskad. Vad menar du för något?
And then Jesus explains himself.
Så förklarar Jesus detta.
And he says, if you are not born out of water and spirit, you will never enter the kingdom.
Att hvis du inte blir född av vann och ånd, så kan du inte komma in I Guds rike.
That's very shocking to say.
Det är väldigt chockerande att säga.
But it's necessary.
Men det är nödvändigt.
What is being born of water? What is being born of spirit?
Hva vil det si å være født av vann, og hva vil det si å være født av ånd?
I will explain that to you in a moment.
Jeg vil forklare det snart.
But the first thing is to be born in the kingdom.
Men det første det å bli født inn I Guds rike.
And then you need to walk as a follower of Jesus Christ.
Og så må du leve som en etterfølger av Jesus Kristus.
You need to walk like Jesus.
Du må vandre som Jesus.
To bear fruits of repentance.
Bære frukt som omvendelsen verdig.
The fruit of the spirit.
Åndens frukt.
And the fruit of multiplication.
Og frukten til multiplisering.
Once you are there, then you are sent to make disciples.
Når du der, så kan du reise for eller gå ut og gjøre disipler.
And that is the only thing that will make the kingdom of God successful in Arendal.
Og det den eneste måten som vil gi Guds rike suksess her I Arendal.
And I don't say it because of my experience.
Jeg kan dele evangeliet ut fra erfaring.
I say it because it's written in the Word of God.
Jeg kan si at det skrevet I Guds ord.
And of course I can show you how you can do that, and it's not rocket science.
Jeg kan vise deg hvordan du gjør det, det ikke rakettforskning.
But I want to leave you with those three thoughts. Are you born in His kingdom?
Men jeg vil la deg sitte igjen med de spørsmålene. Du I Guds rike?
Are you walking like Jesus?
Vandrer du som Jesus?
And if you say yes to those two questions, then are you making disciples?
Og hvis du sier ja til disse to, gjør du da disipler?
It is that simple. Those are the three keys.
Så enkelt det. Det de tre nøklene.
To change your city.
Til å forandre byen.
And it starts with changing one person's life.
Og det begynner med å forandre ett menneskes liv.
And that one person will become a little group.
Og det mennesket vil bli en liten gruppe.
And the little group will become a lot of little groups.
Og den lille gruppen vil bli mange små grupper.
And all those little groups will become a revolution.
Og alle disse små grupperne vil bli en revolusjon.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you understand what
Forstår
I'm saying?
Dette her?
Healing the sick is not going to change the city.
Å helbrede syke vil ikke forandre byen.
Casting out demons is not going to change your city.
Å kaste ut demoner vil ikke forandre byen.
Bible seminaries and church buildings are not going to change the city.
Bibelskoler og kirkebygninger vil ikke forandre byen.
Evangelism is not going to change the city.
Evangelisering kommer heller ikke til å forandre byen.
Making disciples is the only thing that will change it.
Å gjøre disipler, det det eneste som
And if you expect that Lars will be the only one making disciples, it will be taking a long time.
Og hvis Lars den eneste som gjør disipler her, så kommer det til å ta veldig lang tid.
But if what Lars has reached would be reached by all of you.
Men det, once more.
If what he has reached would be reached by everyone
yeah.
here.
Hvis de, han nå vil være nådd av alle.
Imagine.
Se for deg.
It would be amazing.
Det ville vært utrolig.
We started 2 years ago with 4 people.
Vi, 2 år siden så startet vi med 4 mennesker.
And right now is 2 years later is 81 people.
Nå det 81 mennesker 2 år etterpå.
And many of those 81 have their own groups at home.
Mange av de 81 har sine egne grupper.
And many of those groups have started new groups.
Og mange av de har startet nye grupper.
We have seen 4 generations of disciples already.
Vi har allerede sett 4 generasjoner med disipler.
In 2 years time.
På 2 år.
Nobody knows who we are because we are in the back of the scene.
Og ingen vet hvem vi for vi bak scenen.
We're just orchestrating things.
Vi bare organiserer ting.
So it is easy, it is possible.
Det lett og det mulig.
It doesn't cost money.
Det koster ikke penger.
It costs tears. But everybody has tears.
Det koster tårer, men det har vi alle.
They are for free.
Det gratis.
So please remember those three things. Born in the kingdom, a disciple of Jesus, and making disciples.
Husk disse tre. Født inn I Guds rike, vær en disippel til Jesus, og gjøre disippel.
I will explain those three things in the next teaching. So
jeg vil forklare de tre tingene I neste undervisning.
Listen to me. That's it.
Sånn.